All righty, guys, it is Friday evening and it's that time. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rick Gim. I am the Flip with Rick. You guys know my son, Zachary Gim. And we collaborate on this channel on the Flip with Rick to teach you everything about wholesaling and remove all the barriers, get rid of the gurus, and give you 25 years experience that people actually do wholesaling today, running a seven-figure business. And today we're talking all about objections. So a little disclosure up front, guys, I'm going to be on until 6:30. So if you want to get on the live one-on-ones, I suggest you jump on now. I'm going to take about 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to go through, we're going to talk about objections. It's really important. I'm really good at objections. All objections have a counter. And once you can classify them and teach them, then you can overcome anybody's objections. But guys, use the comments, introduce yourself. We're going to go quick today. It's kind of going to be a blitz round, but I promise you, I'm going to get the same content in and we will get started. So use the comments, introduce where you guys are coming from. If you want to jump on the one-on-one, just go over to Wholesaling Houses for Real. And there's a link in there to join our one-on-one. We'll get started. But guys, let's get some energy. Let's get it pumped up. Let's get into this. Let's talk wholesaling.
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Get up, get up. Get the guy. Go. Gotta wake up. Gotta wake up, bitch. Get up. Get up, get up. Get up.
Okay, guys, we are into it. So let's talk about it. How do we deal with objections and how do we overcome them? And the first thing you have to understand is there's always going to be objections. It doesn't matter what you were pitching, what you were selling. People always have objections. Honestly, it's human nature. So instead of acting like I don't know what's coming, if you're prepared for it and you know the answer to the objections, it's literally like taking a test that you already know the answers to. So some people like to learn it on the job. Some people like to prepare. I suggest you take this lesson and work with us and we prepare together for you. So today we're talking all about motivated sellers' objections, how to identify them, and most importantly, how to overcome them. Okay. All objections come down to this. Five things all objections come down to. You ready? I can classify every objection. We'll go through it. And if you guys want to go over it on the lives today, they all boil down to a framing. Okay. So any objection you get, and really when it comes to wholesaling real estate, you're going to come up with five. And I'm going to break them down and classify them. Guys, I have tens of thousands of hours in this area. I've never found an objection that really goes outside this. You ready? Okay. Price, authority, timing, qualifying, and third party. Okay. Guys, don't worry. This is live, and it's recorded, so you don't have to like step all over yourself to take notes here. So you can go back and replay it. So number one, price. That's obvious. When people, price is too high, too low, whatever. Okay. Authority. Is the person you're dealing with have the authority to enter into an agreement? A lot of times we talk to the wrong person, or you're talking to the agent or something like that. You always got to make sure you get the authoritative part down, because if you don't, it's hard to put a deal together. The next one is timing. Oh, God, Rick, I'm not ready right now, or I need another 3 months. I need 6 months. Can you wait another week? Can you wait 2 weeks? Okay. Timing is a huge one. This next one is one that you guys really, really struggle with. And I'm going to teach you today specifically how to overcome it. Qualifying. Rick, how are you qualified to buy my house? Now, especially if you've never bought a house before, this one can be perplexing. I'm going to teach you how to navigate it through. And the last one is one of my favorite ones, the third party. Okay. The third party is anyone other than the seller when they come up with an excuse. My attorney needs to review it. My wife needs to look at it. My daughter needs to look at it. My cat needs to look at it. My real estate agent needs to look at it. Okay. The problem with third party is they push it off to another party and it's hard for you to verify if that's the truth or not. I'm going to teach you how to overcome that as well. So let's just jump in. I put up some raw questions here. Actually, I had somebody else put these in here, so I wouldn't be prepared for it. So I'm going to overcome these objections just as you see them pop up. So if I look surprised, let's just go with it and have fun with it, because this is how objections come. Somebody stumps you and you go, oh my God, here's a little key. If you don't know how to overcome someone's objection, rule number one is do not lie to them, because it digs you in a deeper hole. A lot of you guys think it bails you out. It doesn't. It makes it 10 times worse. So, oh God, here we go. I'm nervous. Let's go. No, I'm not. I've heard all these. It's a good one. So, can I see your proof of funds? So, give me a comment and thumbs up if you guys ever have gotten this one. If it really sticks to you and it's like, man, what do I do? The easiest way to overcome this one is, guys, you should have multiple options to handle this one. So the first one I teach you when you get started wholesaling, lock in your proof of funds first together. Find out your own bank qualifications, what your credit rating is, and work on it if you're not qualified. Some of you are already qualified to buy a home. You don't even know it, okay? Remember, it's just a qualification piece. When I started, I had an okay credit rating, and I could probably get a traditional loan at the bank. That's how I qualified my deals. Then I converted them over to cash. Now, most of you don't have that. That's fine. Okay. It doesn't matter. Okay. The money is in finding the deal. So if you get hit with this question and you are not prepared for it, just say, listen, I work with several partners. I'd be happy to provide them the proof of funds. Where would you like me to send it to you? Okay. And then if you are working with cash buyers and you are constantly asking for proof of funds, you should have an entire file full of these things, guys. Remember, you are assigning the contract. Your authority is in selling it to your cash buyer. So why not use your cash buyer's proof of funds? If not using that, guys, get relationships with hard money lenders. They're a pain in the butt. Learn how to raise soft funds, friends and family. It's really, really easy. Or you can use transactional funding. I'm not going to go in the depth in every one of those. If you guys want to learn more how to do that, go over to freewholesaling.com and I will put it up here for you. And you can learn how to do all that. Let me put it on a banner so it doesn't distract us while we're going. So guys, if you're new to this channel, I welcome you. Once again, my name is Rick. We're here to teach you everything about wholesaling. Go to freewholesaling.com. You can learn everything you want to know about wholesaling from start to finish, the most thorough course available today. And I promise you there's no upgrades. And me and my son go live 6 days a week to teach you how to make this business work. So, proof of funds. It's a big one, guys. And you need to know how to overcome it. And the key to overcoming it is returning an answer confidently. How do you return an answer confidently is you practice. Okay. Eventually you will have so many appointments, so many seller appointments that the repetition will build the muscle. But in the beginning, the only way to build that muscle is you actually have to go out and practice what you're saying to sellers. Okay. So, next one. So who is this and what do you want? So somewhat of an authority, like who are you? And guys, remember, instead of building up that big, bad corporate image on it, go, listen, my name is Rick. I like to buy houses in your area. Are you interested in selling your home? You're always going to just qualify. I'm a regular Joe. You might as well give them your name because they probably have it anyways. And if you act humble and appreciative, but confident, you can easily overcome this objection, okay? When they ask, what do you want? You got to give them what's in it for them statement on that. Let me get rid of this. Why is that popping up there? Okay? So that's more of an authority type of deal. And honestly, if you just answer it systematically, who is this? Answer the first part. Give them your name. Remember, if you break this down on like third, fourth, and fifth grade speaking, it's much easier to communicate with your sellers, and that's how they like to receive the information. Remember, if you talk over your seller's head, you get discredited immediately. Okay. I would, Rick, but where would I move to? Okay. This is a timing. Okay. You guys have to find out the timing. Remember, a lot of times in wholesaling, they are just not ready to sell the house right now. And that's okay. But you've got to put them in your follow-up and keep up with them. So the biggest way to qualify when people go on this, Mr. Seller, when ideally is it you'd like to move then? And just get their honest answer. I love 30, maybe 60 days. But when I hear 90 and 180 days, I have to explore, see what's going on and see how we can help them out. And remember, you can still enter the contract and lock it up. And then you have to keep up with religious follow-up every week, if not every other week on someone that is 90 days out. Guys, timing is a huge one. Some people just are not ready. How do you know this? When you go to qualifying and you ask about time frame, this is where you're going to find out. If you don't do this, you're going to find out when you go on your appointment. But timing's a big one. It's probably one of the biggest ones that comes up in our company, but you guys kind of let me know on this. Okay. I love the surprises here. How much are you offering me, Rick? This is where you have to counter back to them and you have to come back with a logical answer. How much are you offering is a way to say, listen, Rick, shut your mouth. Just give me a price. I don't want to hear your speech. Okay. If you guys do this and you take this bait, you are no longer a wholesaler. You might as well go over to McDonald's and be an order taker because all you are is taking orders. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to do is reframe the conversation and take control. And then I'm going to ask permission to move forward. So, hey, Rick, how much are you offering? And usually they're very aggressive at this point. And usually it's in the first minute I get in my presentation. Hey, listen, John, I get it. I know you want the best price for your house and you're eager to get to it. But listen, have you ever bought a car you've never test drove? No. Okay. Well, you can't ask me to do the same. Do me a favor. If you can just give me like 10, 15 minutes to ask you some questions about your situation in your house. And if you give me that time, I can structure probably the best offer for you. Is that fair? Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? That's it. If you fall for this, how much you offering? And you say 150,000, next, 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 next. In the perfect world, we would love everyone just to give us a price, make sure they're solid and have them get out of the way and then shop it with 10 other people. If you give your price immediately like this, like I just showed you, you are no longer a wholesaler and they're going to treat you like a bid and then they're just going to shop it around. Guys, do not fall for this. Check them. Give them the driving car situation and then ask for permission to ask qualifying questions and just come back. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Rick, dude, the price is too low. Okay. I'm going to go straight into the volley method on that. Okay. Well, John, listen, what do you need to get out of the property? Well, Rick, I just told you a number. John, really, what do you need to get out of it? If that's too low, tell me what is going to work for you. And then this is where you start working it back and forth with them. Listen, you have to fully expect people to reject your offer. Our goal is to have them say no. So when they say no, you have to have a systematic approach to counter them. If you sit there and you just go, you're going to lose that confidence muscle and they're going to doubt you have the ability to cover it. So when I throw out a price, say, listen, Mr. Seller, I can give you everything I got. Basically we could offer you 85,000. Now I don't like to use the word offer at all. And they go, oh no, Rick, that price is too low. Okay. Well, John, listen, tell me what number needs to work for you to get rid of this property. And I'm going to use in those prayers. Well, I talked over my wife, we can't do anything less than like 90, 95,000. So immediately I'm going to go to 90. I go, listen, I was at 80. You're at 90. I go, what if we did like 83,000? Like, get it done. I'll pay the closing costs to move forward. The idea is when somebody asks for something, you always have to counter. If you just give in, even if you're okay giving in, you have to find a reason to compromise with people. Remember, so if he came back and said, Rick, I just need 90. And I go, okay. Honestly, he's going to think he probably can get more from me. And this conversation is probably going to continue. So even if I'm going to take 90, I'm going to go back and find a way to go. Even if I okay taking that, I go, listen, I will do the 90 if you can close in X amount of time. So maybe I already got a buyer lined up and the guy goes, listen, I'm going to close this week. I'll do 90 if you can close it in 10 days. Okay. So this is going to obviously fall into the price category. Do you guys see how the classification works here? If you know there's only five objections in all of wholesaling, all you have to do is learn to classify them, and then you practice with all five areas. And once you master it, there's nothing a seller can throw at you to really throw you off base. Okay. Now, you're going to have several comebacks in each category. You just have to learn how to classify them. I'm moving through this thoroughly. I want to talk to you guys. So, okay. I have to speak to my spouse. Guys, which one is that? Third party. Okay. Now, here's the catch with this. Sometimes they're telling the truth. Sometimes they're not telling the truth. Your job is to figure that out. How do you tell if they're telling the truth? Consistently keep probing. People that lie cannot keep their lies straight, and they'll eventually be caught in their lies. If they're telling the truth, it should make 100% common sense. Okay. I have to speak to my wife. Great. When can we connect with your wife so you guys can make a decision as a family that's best for you? Okay. Don't ever discredit the spouse, whatever it is. Now, it could be spouse, realtor, lawyer, aunt, uncle, cat. You have to acknowledge it and then give a time frame to respond to it. Okay. Third party is a pain in the butt. And honestly, this is where you wind up in the maybe land. Okay. So understand the third party. I'm going to tell you guys at the end how to avoid a lot of these issues. Okay. You guys, I might as well say, Zillow says it's worth X. My realtor says it's worth X. Okay. The word worth and what people will buy it for is so misunderstood. Okay. If you guys have ever had to compete with a realtor, say you're trying to buy a property at 200 and they go, listen, I get you 259 for that. Okay. Now, I learned as I got older, running the realtor over with your seller doesn't get you any brownie points, and it actually makes you look like the enemy. So I'm going to politely discredit the realtor. Say, great. So the realtor is going to buy it for $259,000 and you're going to get that in your bank account. That's a great deal. Go for it. Okay. Is it a bit sarcastic? Yes. But the reality is she could go, no. The realtor said they would list it for that. Okay. Well, I thought you wanted to sell your house. And Jen, remember when you called me, you said you wanted to get the house sold. You didn't want anybody walking through. It sounded like you didn't want a realtor to be involved, but now we're talking about compared to realtor pricing. You're going to have to go through inspections, appraisals, the whole nine yards. Which one is it that you want to do? And I'm going to go back to, remember, realtors are just listing it to it and go, listen, at the end of the day, if I buy it for 200, they list it at 259, what are you going to net? And hold on one second. You can tell it's live. There's somebody at the door there. So I kind of get into it. Why did you contact me in the first place? If you didn't want to deal with a realtor, then this should have been, this is why we're talking with it. So understanding that in the beginning, for full disclosure, I used to run the realtor into the bus. It actually will blow up in your face if you do that. Don't do that. Speak positively. Remember, the realtor is just listing it. The dirty little secret with realtors, when they get hot and heated and I have realtors standing in front of me, and I've had this before, just say, great. Then if the realtors, are you confident you get 259? Absolutely. So here's what I recommend, because I want this to work out for you. Go ahead and list it with the realtor for 259. They said they're very confident, and I would do a 30-day listing and you should have no problems. Immediately, the realtor will backpedal every time. Oh, no, wait. I didn't say 30 days. You just said you're confident 30 days. I'm looking to get her deal done in less than 30 days. So why do you need more than 30 days if 259 is the price? So what you do is you anchor that price on them. And if it doesn't work out in 30 days, they come back to you. You've got to leave that bridge open. How do you do that? Don't run the realtor under the bus, even though every bone in your body tells you to do it. It doesn't work. I've tried it, guys. I'm telling you, as bad as you want to do it, and there are some really bad realtors out there, there's very good realtors too. But the bad ones, they get really negative and it makes you look bad. So you have to take the high road on it. Guys, we are considered like the bottom feeders. We are the dangerous people in this business. We're the ones that go out and solve more problems that people can't solve, and that's why we're paid the most money, okay? I don't walk around in a suit and a tie and be all pretty and kiss like sellers, but I help people who need to sell houses. Okay, let's keep moving here. Next one. I need to speak to my attorney. Third party, right? Third party. Now, I will tell you this. A big percentage of wholesalers are like, I won't deal with an attorney. I'm never going to deal with an attorney. I take the opposite approach. You know what? I think that's a great idea. I think you should involve your attorney, okay? Keep in mind, whatever state you're in. So in Florida, we don't require an attorney. I said, just to let you know, in the state of Florida, you are not required to have an attorney. I'm buying your house for $200,000. I'm paying the closing cost. You have no mortgage. So once we run the title search, if nothing else comes back, you should net close to $200,000. But if you need an attorney to review that for you, I'm perfectly fine doing that. Okay. In my experience, most attorneys do not review these contracts. 9 times out of 10, it is 100% a bluff. Go ahead and call them on it. It's much easier. Another little trick with the attorney, because they hate back and forth paperwork, send them a contract with your company name on the top, or however you're going to buy it, the seller's name, put the address on there, leave the price blank. Attorneys want to go through the legal jargon paperwork. It's not their job to discuss the price. So I'll send them a blank contract. I don't want them to shop my contract. That's why I don't like sending it all out there. And when they go, listen, I need to speak to my attorney, the easiest way to overcome this objection is, great, what's your attorney's name? Well, I haven't quite. Wait, don't insult them. Once they know that you're asking them specifics. So people that are using an attorney, by the way, 98% of Americans do not deal with attorneys on a regular basis. So if you call me and say, hey, Rick, I need your attorney, I go, oh, it's over there. It's Plymouth. Here's the address. Here's the guy's phone number. I'll give it to you right away. I'll give you one of my three attorneys. Like, if I don't have an attorney, what am I going to do? I'm like, well, I don't know. I got to shop it around and look around. They're not going to give it to an attorney. They're going to give it to a friend or like a colleague or something like that to see if you are willing to work with them. And for this reason, you should just go, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay. I'm going to go over to the last section, which is overcoming objections from cash buyers. And then we're going to jump on these lives. Okay. This is going to be really fun. By the way, all the 5 categories I've given you, if you want to head them all off and kill them at the bud before they start, make sure you're having your upfront agreement. If you don't know how to do that, go over to freewholesaling.com. I'll show you how to do like the whole thing. The upfront agreement is basically telling people they have to give a yes or no decision, and it is a requirement. So don't forget about that. The upfront agreement solves a lot of these problems, okay? So cash buyer objections. This is going to be really easy. So your cash buyer goes, we need to use my title company. The answer is no. It's no. I'm not overcoming this objection. It's no. Use my title company or go find someone another deal. You guys cannot negotiate on this one. It will wreck your deal. Whenever I've not used my title company, it's like a 70% failure ratio. Why? Because I'd like to tell you title companies are neutral. They're not. Whoever picks the title company has the home field advantage. It's just the truth, guys. If you give it to their title company, they will play so many games with you, they're going to drive you nuts. Okay. Can we use my title company, Rick? Absolutely no. Hey, Rick, your assignment fee is too much. Bye-bye. I don't negotiate my assignment fee. Take it or lose it. And you're going to regret it if you don't take it. If people want to bid it up, I'll be fair and I won't make it a scene, but I'm never going to just give it away. Okay. Here's one of my other favorites. I don't disclose private information, proof of funds on properties owned. Bye-bye. See you later. I'm done with you. Okay. Hey, Rick, that's too much EMD. For a cash buyer. Okay. Well, go find someone else. I'm sure you can find another deal. Guys, do not negotiate with cash buyers on the terms. Should you treat cash buyers with respect? Should you build rapport with them? Yes. So many people, a certain industry in wholesaling taught you to be brutally on cash buyers. Be brutal on the qualification process. But once somebody passes the mustard test, be nice to them. Like you can't don't let them run you over, but they're not going to let you run you over. And I promise you, in the next like year and a half, they're going to remind you of this. So when people told you cash buyers are a dime a dozen, you have to do that, it worked from 2013 to right about now. It's not going to go working forward. So go through the qualification process. Don't negotiate on it. And when they qualify, then give them the time they want. If you got to go meet them for a cup of coffee or do something like that, you can do that. But just be respectful because they have a lot of options on there. So guys, that's it. So remember, I just understand this. I'm going to put this slide back up. There's only five things all objections come down to from sellers. Okay? Price, authority, timing, qualifying, and third party. Once you classify that objection, you can now prepare for it and overcome it. What you should do is take the objections I put up on the screen here. You go back on the replay and practice them. And by the way, there's like 10 or 15 ways you can come back on every objection. What you need to do is start building your one-liner comebacks on them. And then as you progress, you can build your objection bank. Mine's so thick and so long, it's ridiculous. So I like to break it down to classifications so you guys can easily identify. So when you guys have an objection, especially we're doing the lives today, tell me what class your objection comes into, and then we'll figure out how to overcome it. So that's it. We're going to jump on the lives. If you have any questions, put in here. If you guys want to go on the link, go over to Wholesaling Houses for Real. It's in there. I promise you, just follow the directions. Real quick question here. Hey, Rick, does the title company have to be near the property? No, it has to be in the state, preferably in the county, but like the state is the bare minimum, if that helps. Okay. So everybody's got that up there. Let's take that off there. We don't need it up there the entire time. Five things. So when we talk about objections today, if you guys got a question, now you can classify them and we can figure out how to do it. Okay. I'm going to put the link up here, but guys, I am on a limited time today. So if you come at the end, I'm not ignoring you. I can just only take so many people, and I like to take people that take the first and fastest action on it. Yeah, I sound like I'm selling a wholesaling course. I'm just telling you, it's not. So those of you guys asking for the link, I put it in there on the bottom. So that's it. Let me see if I missed anything else. I got Steven on here. Steven's on here pretty regular. The wholesale deals I've put under contract in the last month are more money than I made all last year as an agent. And I sold close to $7 million in real estate last year. So why be an agent anymore? And I agree. So I put this comment up here because a lot of you talk about, well, I want to be an agent and a wholesaler. I'm telling you, if you do wholesaling correctly, you will never, ever think about being an agent again. I have no problem with agents. I own an agency, but a real estate agent's job is to sell real estate and get the deals closed. Okay. A wholesaler's job is to find opportunities, create win-win situations, and make a ton of money. Sometimes they're harder problems to solve, but they work well. My wholesaling income is 85% of what I do. 85%, guys. I don't make money off coaching, anything like that. The other 10 to 15% is from other real estate streams that I have through businesses I own. Okay. I'm just talking the wholesaling business. I own other businesses. I'm just telling you, I do wholesaling. I agree with Steven completely. So many of you guys are looking for that safe play with being a realtor. And I'm telling you, you're going to get stuck because now you chase $3,000 to $10,000 commissions and you're missing out on $30,000 to $50,000 paychecks. But it's a free world. You guys do whatever you want. Steven, I'm glad to hear that is awesome. And wait till he sees what happens. It's going to be crazy. So we got great opportunity coming up, guys. So let's jump on this. Let me see here. Justice, you there? Okay. Unmute yourself.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Where you at?
Just chilling at my house. I live over in Milwaukee. I had a couple of questions on a deal I'm about to start on. Okay, if any of them are answered in the website, feel free to just, shoot me over there. But so starting off, It's kind of like a, it's a lot. It's a, you know, a multi-house deal. I guess my first question is, do you think that's something I should do? Is, have you ever done something like that? It's like 9 houses that this guy wants to sell. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course. So are they single family houses, multis? What are they?
There's 2 duplexes and the rest are single family. Yeah. There's a couple that tenants are already, you know, living in, but it's not all of
them. So how did you find this lead?
Oh, just cold calling. I was doing, I think it's failed listings in Milwaukee, which has been working out pretty well. I've been getting a decent amount of leads from there.
So I'm sorry, what, back that up. I missed that. Where did you say you're getting leads from?
Oh, PropStream, failed listings.
Okay. So is it, so the guy, one person owns 9 properties. Are they in the same area, street, or they spread out everywhere?
They're spread out throughout Milwaukee. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the challenge. Okay. So, I have a good friend, that works the Milwaukee market very well. So, have you closed any deals yet?
No, but
I say that because there's a reason for it. I fully support you. Here's the challenge. When somebody owns 9 properties, they got experience. Like they didn't just pick up 9 properties overnight. My experience, anybody owns that 4 or more properties, I'm just telling you the statistical numbers. For the most part, you give me 10 sellers like that, 9 out of 10 are difficult. They're a pain in the ass. They drag you on forever. And they drive me nuts. Here's the easiest way to overcome these types of people, okay? Because they go, they'll go just like this. Justice, I need an offer on all 9 properties. Then you sit there in purgatory hell trying to figure out valuations and figure out how am I going to offer this guy, and you haven't even looked at him. It's just such a big piece of pie. Here's what I do. So if the seller's name is John, I say, John, listen, that's really cool. You own 9 properties. Man, that's awesome. I'd love to be you one day. Tell you what. 9's a lot, and I get it. Give me your most tired, beat up, vacant property. Which is, if you had to, which one, he will go instantly. Oh, the 216 4th Street. It's empty. They kind of, it's a little bit rough. Start with that one, okay? Then take a look at it. However you examine and process it, and make an offer on that one. And that way, if it doesn't work, don't worry about the rest because it's a pain in the ass. Okay, I'm just telling you. I do this all the time. As the other guy offered me 30 houses the other day, I got 50. They all want way too much money 9 times out of 10. Okay. They all know the market's going backwards right now. That's why he's selling them all in bulk. So do that little test that way, because I don't want you spending like a week trying to evaluate these, look at them, take pictures, because then you become a realtor and you got to find out if the guy has any motivation really to sell them other than money. And here's the reality. Most people that got 4 more properties, all it is about the money and that's it. And we can't fulfill that as wholesalers. So try one, test it. And if he's so far out of the water, how are you going to take down like 9? And I'm just telling you that they drive me nuts. They drive my acquisitions people's nuts. And I tell you what, if you get traction with them, just send me a quick email with your name on it in the title line to support at Flip with Rick. And I do have somebody I work directly with from Milwaukee, and they have the experience to take these downs. It's my money anyway. So if he does want to cut a deal and you want to partner up, I can definitely help you take that down because I do have local knowledge on that market. So that works out well with you. But like, has he given you any motivating factors?
Other than just wanting to get the money and put it somewhere else, basically, not really. So I see where you're coming with on that. He's probably,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't be like, so 9, 10 out of 10, they're calling you because, well, you called them and, a good investor is going to talk to everybody. You never close your doors on it, but the reality is they want the most money from you without paying like realtor fees. And he's like, if he can do it, great. If not, he goes, I get an idea what he's going to offer. Then I can use Justice offer to leverage it against the next wholesaler that comes around, and it's annoying. So when someone's selling a lot of multiple properties, I really focus on the motivating factor. And if it's just price, remember, just as price is not enough to make it work in wholesaling. It's just not. It doesn't mean it won't change, but try to find his tired weak point and see if you can attack that, because it's singular. You can come up with a value and you can make him a quick offer to see if it works out.
All right, cool. So it's, I mean, like, yeah, that,
It's when they have four or more properties, they're usually what I consider like a professional investor. And if you're brand into it, they'll try to eat you alive. So just use this trick. It works really well. And I don't like when people give me 20, 30 properties. It's usually a nightmare. It's like they're all over the place. It's crazy. Now, there is one exception. Okay. If you can get an investor that has all the houses on one street, it's got a huge premium. People love that. Okay. If you guys know, if I don't know if Corey's on the live here, he just did a deal where he had all the duplexes on like one street. And actually, Corey called me. He's like, hey, can we do it together? I go, Corey, you do this yourself. You don't need me. Like, it's a home run. I'll take your money, but, and he's in the process of taking that deal done. So the problem is if I get nine houses and they're spread over like an entire county, it's a nightmare, dude. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to manage it. It's like, so we got to find a way to make that work. So use that little trick and see if that'll work. I'm telling you. Cool. But if you get traction, there's motivation, send me an instant, something to support. Just put justice all in capital. I know what it's like. Okay. And then if you want to attack with it, I'll put you with the right person. You guys can kind of work together. They helped me out with a lot of stuff, but extremely seasonable in Milwaukee. It's a great market, but remember, you need the motivation. Otherwise, they're just going to like drag you through the ringer.
Okay, cool. All right, sweet. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Okay, well, go for it. Let me know how it works out either way, okay?
Sweet, thanks. All right,
awesome. Okay, see ya. Ravon, you there?
Hello?
Hey,
can you hear me? You
there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, good. How about you?
Oh, I'm awesome today, man. So
that's great. So I'm doing like virtual wholesaling on, I think I told you last time, Wayne County or Detroit. I don't know if you remember this. I was talking to you last time.
I remember your name. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened is they told me to do a FOIA request, which I did, and I submitted to a bunch of counties, and then majority of them replied back to me saying that they don't know what I'm talking about. Like I said, I want a code violation, tall grass, structural mold, stuff like that, et cetera. And they email me back. It's like, oh, we canceled your request and we don't know what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Okay. So which, where are you making your request to?
So like I did Garden City, Michigan, Wayne County, a lot of counties.
Are you doing it via email, phone, or going in person?
Email. Because like since I live in California, so that's why I'm doing virtual. So
I get it. So listen, you're going to get resistance. You're going to get so all these lists, the government lists, they get attention. And by the way, all the gurus, they'll tell you this list once you pay for the course. I don't do that. Okay. I just tell you how to do it.
Okay.
The further you are away, the more resistance you're going to get. So an email is the farthest you can get away from someone because it's very cold. Okay.
Okay.
A phone's the next level. At least you're talking to a person, and in person, hard to overcome people. Nobody likes to reject people in person. So you got to make sure you're connecting with the right department because you're probably paying the phone game. Yeah. So you've got to find out who handles code violations for that particular city.
Okay.
Guys, I'm telling you, like there's 3,500 counties. It can be a train wreck trying to find this stuff, especially virtually. I'm telling you, it's more of a challenge because you don't know. Like sometimes you have to go to the building department.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to go to the county. And so if you call the wrong department and you get a person answering the phone, it's not her fault. She doesn't know where it is. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it sounds like you've got to figure out where it is. All cities and counties have some sort of code violations or properties would be a wreck. People would be running businesses out of them. Wild animals would be chained up in the front. We would have tigers. There's a reason for it. I get it. So being virtual the way you are, you're going to have to get very specific and find out to connect the right department because when you get the wrong one, you're probably like me. I go, hey, listen, I just need to get the code violation list. How can I get that? Like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that. Well, obviously, you've probably got the wrong person. You probably got the wrong department.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to bend over backwards and help you out. So you got to find out. So the first thing is, navigate through the county or the city website and figure out how they manage that.
Okay.
I don't know of a city or a county that doesn't have that. Now, some have like different names. Or some call it property compliance, like all sorts of stuff. Here's the problem, guys. 3,500 counties. I can't give the exact specifics how to do it. I will tell you, I've already told you, you are up against the wall when you're doing an email halfway across the country. Okay. So you're going to have to get real specific. Your worst case scenario is you might have to find a local to help you navigate through it. Like, very rarely do I get rejected in person on email. I get rejected about 90% of the time when I make these requests. I'm doing this all over the country too for markets I'm experimenting and playing around with. It's a pain in the butt, but I'm just here to tell you, like, the closer you are, the easier it is. And the farther away, the harder it is. And email is almost an automatic no, because you are nothing more than a couple, like, what do they call it, text blocks. You're a couple characters away from hitting no. Like, it's easy just to say no. So you're just going to have to keep at it. And you're going to have to get creative. Like, that's just how it is. I promise you Detroit has something like that. I promise you. And I'll take it another level. I have some inner cities, like, on the outskirts of where I live.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, we have little cities. So they have city and county for code enforcement. And it's very interesting, like, how it works. We even have a condemnation board. And then some of them get switched over that. And that's a whole nother one. So you got to find the intricacies of your county and your city and figure out the right terminology and get with the right department. So when you contact someone and they're clueless, you're obviously in the wrong place. You've just got to find the right words. The beauty of the internet and search and stuff like that, you should be able to, like, figure it out. Okay. Listen, you only use FOIA has got to be, like, your final, like, that's throwing a grenade when you're around all your buddies. I'm like, okay, dude, like, I'm going to take myself out, but I'm going to save you guys and take these 15 bad boys out with me. Okay. That's how if you go FOIA, it's really bad. And honestly, it's usually a bluff you're using, because to go through the paperwork and the nightmare, even if you get granted a FOIA, you're going to make your life so difficult. I've never been successful with a FOIA one. I know I'm entitled to it, but it's kind of like that school teacher saying, listen, I'm going to call your parents. We'll call, like, sometimes I go, I don't care, call your parents. Now, every now and then, a supervisor knows what a FOIA is, and if that thing goes through and it gets approved, they're in big, big trouble. So there is a huge risk for them if they don't comply. But listen, to overcome resistance, you got to hit it with a lot of persistence, and you got to just keep trying. And by the way, I've never told everyone you will get 100% compliance on these lists. That's just how it works out. And here's how I look at it. The more resistance you get, the harder it is for your competition. So it might be a good thing. So just don't give up. Keep navigating for it. And, work from it. Some of them to this day, we still have to go in person and kiss people's butts and give them donuts to get it.
All right. So I had another quick question. So when I'm doing virtual wholesaling, right?
Okay.
I know about, like, the MTCP. So after I ask about the seller's price, is that when I, like, tell them my price and then set an appointment? Because I know you said that when cold calling, you had to set an appointment to later call them back. And usually I find, like, it's kind of hard to do that when you already give the price. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they give a price and then you kind of counter that with that lower price, I don't know how I could set an appointment after that. So
the flow of your conversation, especially on virtual, is dictated by the motivation of the seller.
Okay.
I get someone who just every now and then it's freak. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But every now and then you get someone like, dude, I just need to sell this thing now. Something happened. That's when they're telling you everything you want to hear. Either you're being set up and they're completely punking you, which people still do these days, or they are at such an emotional, shallow point. They just can't take the property anymore. So the emotional seller wants it done right there and you got to move with it. Now, the problem is if you don't walk them all the way through the process, they can have, like, seller regret within 24 hours and they have a high probability of canceling on you. So even when they're, like, completely agreeable, I go over and out of my way to, like, okay, here's what we're going to do. When they are going down perfectly down your funnel, answering your questions, hey, the property's junk. The renter screwed me. I'm stuck. I'm not meant to be a landlord. I'm too nice of a guy. Make me a fair offer and it's yours. You got to make the offer right there. You actually have to shoot from the hip and make it work. Okay. And that's why you go for the no. Okay. Now, on the other side, when I have someone and they're already like, listen, I need 180,000 and Like, there's nothing above 100,000 in your market, and you got to start getting a lot of information, yeah, you know, and just keep countering. Like, how did you come up with that price? Am I missing something with this property? And then when they say, no, no, it's perfect, I just want to, basically, they want to sell it to you without a realtor's fee because there's no motivation. Yeah. And I just say, listen, why don't you just list the property? Like, it doesn't make sense what you're doing. The reason I say that is like, yeah, I'll do that. And they might hang up with you, refer them to someone, or they like, well, the reason why I don't want to list it as a realtor is I don't want anybody parading through my house. I have some embarrassing stuff going on. Okay. Well, listen, I'm not here to judge you. Just tell me honestly what's going on. I'll tell you if I can help you out. Remember, even if there's no motivation, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You have to go to realtor world, and I don't want to go over there. I'm not going to do like these ridiculous novations, all this other stuff. By the way, in my county today, I sat in a title company and watched a title person reject a novation because they won't recognize the power of attorney. And they said the lien they recorded was illegal. And they said this is going on left and right. And underwriters are starting to flag all files with POAs and liens that are recorded in less than 12 months. Remember, I told you guys where novations are going to go. I'm telling you guys, there is no shortcut to wholesaling. You have to do it the right way. You can do novations, but remember, you have to record a power of attorney and you have to do a open-ended lien. And so now the underwriters of title are watching for power of attorneys and liens recorded less than 1 year. So in Florida, they are now getting red flagged. Okay. Power of attorney has ridiculous responsibilities that you have to follow through. And if you don't, not only are you in violation, you could actually be committing fraud and you could be committing a criminal act. That's it. I'm leaving it at that. So, Ravon, do you understand what I mean by the flow of the conversation? Because you're virtual.
Yeah.
Every now and then you're going to get ones like, listen, I find on probates that happens a lot on the virtual ones when they're long distance. But if they have a tenant and they trash the property and it's rough, you have to move fast on those calls. You just got to go low. You're trying to get a counter on them. But if they're not giving me the motivation, I don't give them an offer. I'm just going to keep feeling them out. I'm going to play hard to get. And it's got to work. Remember, if the motivation's not there, you're not going to get a good price. So don't be chasing them, throwing out offers like crazy. Okay. I'm looking for houses that are a little bit rough, people are having problems with, and I want to try to help cure the problem. If there's no problem to cure, the only thing that's going to cure it is price. And I don't want you to be the highest bidder.
Oh, okay. I see.
Do you understand that? Like, you can't, like, so when the conversation's like, you're not getting anywhere, you're like, they're not really telling me anything. Goes, listen, am I missing something with this property? Like, what? You called me back and I appreciate it. Like, I do cash offers. I buy in your neighborhood, but like everybody knows in real estate, if you get a cash offer, it's because they're getting something in exchange 9 times out of 10. Okay. They're getting convenience. They're getting dignity and they're getting speed. Okay. If not, they'll wait 90 to 180 days to put it up with a realtor and put up with all that stuff. Most of these people don't want inspections. They don't want to deal with realtors. And if you're targeting your list right, you're finding you're marketing to people with potential problems. So you should cross an intersection eventually and find that person. Very rarely, by the guys, all my marketing, very rarely do I get a perfect house. It happens once in a blue moon. Like I tell people all the time, I go, you know what? I guess if your house is perfect, you should get the highest offer. Their house is never perfect. That's why they're talking to you 9 times out of 10. So
okay, I see.
You can't chase people so hard. And it's really hard because that's what you want to do in your gut. You want to do anything to get the deal. The problem with investors over the last 4 years in particular, they've chased so hard just to get the contract because they felt anybody would buy it. It was such a seller's market. Those days are over. Like you can't do that anymore. You're going to get killed if you do that. Okay.
Okay.
Find motivation, give them a fair offer and go in for like the lowest price. So you have options at the end. And then if you have to go back to get one discount, it's better than trying to get two or three. You won't get it.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to like I said, follow the MTCP motivation time frame conditions.
Go through it, and honestly, like, if I can't find motivation in the qualifying part, don't worry about the rest of your conversation. It's a waste of time.
And if they do have motivation, then like, can I set the appointment? Can I set the price, lowball them, and then set the appointment?
You can. It won't hurt you, but like sometimes I'll leave. So the problem with virtual is when you have them on the phone, like,
it's hard.
You ever play phone tag? It's a pain in the butt. Yeah. Like sometimes you got some. If you have good motivation on the phone, dude, move forward. Like make it fun, make it light, like try to earn their trust, get 10, 15 minutes on the call. But if there's no motivation, don't sit there and like chase them. Go listen. I'm not sure your property is going to even qualify for what I do. Maybe you need to list it with a realtor. I have some good realtors I work with. Is something that interests you? Like, honestly, because it's just like, most of it, here's the reality, guys. Most people come to wholesalers like this. I don't want to pay a realtor's fee and I don't want to pay closing costs. Well, I want a ripped six pack of abs, but I don't want to do any exercise. I don't want to eat cake all day. That's what you're asking me. I can't do that. And if you're going to do that, you're going never to make it in this business. And you have to understand that. So my job is to snuff those people out. The ones that go like, well, if he'll pay me without a realtor, all cash, close quick, and I net the same amount, why wouldn't I just take this guy's offer? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So okay. Go with the flow. I agree. When they're on the phone, I like to take deals down. But, man, if there's no motivation, man, especially in today's market, heed the warning, okay? And then worst case scenario is you can always follow back up with them. And by the way, if you can pinpoint a price with anyone and you're working with good cash buyers, you might be able to go back and approach that deal. But like, think about this. If you come back to them in a month later, do you think prices are going to go up in this market?
Yeah.
No, they're only going to go down. They're only going to go down. So it's like, so part of the momentum we can build from wholesaling on here is if you don't take my offer now, my offer is only going to go down. It's not going to go up. I guarantee it. In the last 5 years, everyone could tell you, they could tell you, well, I'll just get a higher offer. Don't worry about it. The price just keeps going up. So it's crazy. Okay. So,
and I have a little quick question. So like, I find a lot of houses are like fully renovated inside, like they have nothing wrong, but the price is under like 130, 120K. Should I still wholesale those properties or no? Like on, especially on Zillow.
I repeat the question. I don't understand it.
So I found like a lot of houses on Zillow, especially the interior is fully renovated, right? Like new kitchen, new AC. Yeah. And like, I found like no structural damage, especially on the pictures. So I was wondering, and it's a good price too. So it's like under 130, 120K. So I was wondering if I should still wholesale those properties or ignore them.
So the only way you can wholesale it is you have to have a discount off the price to make it work.
Okay? Yeah, I know.
So if you can't, so that's a volume game. You just got to rip through and find someone that's just given up. That's more of a challenging thing. So, you can do it. Just understand that when the property is fully renovated and stuff, odds are someone invested money in it and someone's got to pay them back. And for that reason, it makes challenging. As the inventory climbs up and you guys need to track the inventory in your local market, man, I tell you, if you've ever listed a property on the market and it sits, it's painful. Okay.
Yeah.
The sweet spot, guys, is after 60 days. Most properties go to die on the market after 60 days. Actually, it's really 30 days, but at least after 60 days, they priced it wrong. After 90 days, it's dead. Okay. So expired listings will be predominant, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even going to touch expired listings probably till later in the year because the prices are still just, they're ridiculous. Yeah. Now I'm talking about in Florida. So you've got to play the numbers game with it. So remember, the key thing is it's not, you're looking at pictures and stuff like that. What do you need to focus on to get a good deal in wholesaling? What?
You need to focus on like the motivation, right?
That's it. So stop looking at pictures of the property, ask people questions, see if they qualify. If they do, great. If not, just say thank them. And if anything else changes, tell them to give you a call. That's it. By the way, people like to peacock about properties on FSBO for Zillow. What do I mean by peacock? They're going to tell you everything's perfect. Everything's great. It's going to sell like top dollar.
Yeah.
That's their ego and just they could have, you got to remember everybody fights a battle. Okay. My life is no easier than yours and vice versa. So we all have stuff going in life. We all just don't share it out there publicly. So give them the time of day. If you give them respect, you'd be surprised when people call you back. You go, listen, remember you called, I really need to tell us, dude. If I don't tell us, my wife's going to leave me and like crazy things are going to happen in my life. What can we strike as a deal? Now I have motivation. Now I can hit him with a low ball offer and I can start a real conversation. Okay. You can't start a conversation to do a good wholesale deal if there's no motivation. It's just, it's a waste of time. And honestly, in the last 4 years, everyone's gotten away from that because they felt they could get away with murder in this market. And to be honest with you, they probably could. Okay. Those wholesalers are going to die unless they relearn how to do this business. So keep that in mind. Everything I'm going to tell you is always going to focus on, you know, people's motivation. When there's motivation, we make there this thing work. Deal. No motivation, there's nothing we can do.
All right. Thank you so much. It?
Okay, yeah, man. Thank you. Let's go. I'm going to burn through these things, man. So, okay, I got one here. I tried to do with both comments. So I see everybody in line here. I get it. So KJ says, my seller wants to sell, but afraid of capital taxes. How do I handle that? So remember, we are experts in buying properties. We are not tax authorities. But first of all, you have to identify if your seller is living in the home as a homeowner. Okay. For the record, if they are in the homeowner and they reside in the property, I believe at least 2 years, don't quote me on the current IRS tax laws, but if they reside in the property and they can prove they live there and they got some sort of exemption through your state, all states have it, state of Florida has it, they qualify for like a homestead exemption. They are entitled to take all that equity out. Depends if you're single or you're married. It's somewhere between $500,000 for one, like $750,000 for two. Guys, consult with your local like tax experts. They get that money tax-free. Now, if it's a rental property, whatever their gain is, if they bought the property for $100,000 and they're selling it for $200,000, they have $100,000 capital gains, and then they would have to pay tax on that. And I get that situation. Now, that person can do what they call is a 1031. A 1031 is they can take that equity and exchange it in a like property and not to have pay taxes on it. And people like to do that to upgrade. That's option number two. Option number three is you could do a creative financing solution where they didn't have to pay the taxes up front and they could delay it for a few years by paying them on like an interest-only loan. There's so many ways to slice this puppy. Find out what type of property is, if it's the homeowner or they're doing it as an investment property, and then you can figure out which way to navigate from there. So KG says it's an investment property. So you can do a 1031 or you can do like an owner financing where you just make like interest payments only where he gets the residual income and he can defer the taxes until he actually gets paid off on it. Happens all the time. In fact, KG, you could do a deal with your seller right now and you can delay the final sale. You could do like a rent to own and then you could push it off till 2023. And then basically he can wait 2 years to pay the taxes just on that simple strategy. But talk to him, see what he wants to accomplish, and then you can reverse engineer it. So either a 1031 or you can just delay the sale. That way he can delay paying his taxes. Find out what he wants. Remember, we have to figure out what our sellers want. And then you can go talk to a qualified attorney or accountant and they can help you navigate through it. I do this all the time. Like, honestly, those people have free and clear properties. They just don't want to pay the tax, but they would like the residual income off of the interest payments. And that's a great way to do it. So awesome. Okay. Let's see here. I'm trying. Okay. I got to get through every. Let's go. Ethan, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Rick?
I'm awesome, man. So what's going on? What can I help you out with?
I got a quick question. So I went driving for dollars the other day.
Okay.
And I ended up skip tracing the list, and there was one that really stuck out. So I wanted to contact the person who owned it. There was no phone number that came up. So I messaged her brother, I think it was, on Facebook to get me in contact with her. And he did. Uh-huh. So I talked to her the other night for about 20 minutes. And she basically told me she wants rid of the house. She's doesn't live there anymore, and it's just a hassle for her now. So
is she the seller?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm trying to find the ARV on the home, and I'm completely stumped on it. Like, I went to the course. I watched the one about.
Okay. Can you put it in the private chat, and I'll take a quick peek at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Private chat, not the public one.
How do you get on there?
If you look on the, you should have a private chat thing, and you can put it in there, and it'll alert me when it pops up.
Yep, I see.
Do that. I'm gonna look through. So KG on that. So he wants to retire. So like, listen, either he has to take the money and pay the capital gains, or he has to do some sort of creative thing to defer his gains. I am not like, I'm not a magician, and you got to tell him like, I can do one or the other, which one is more important to you. Okay. By the way, you could option the property, and give him a chunk of money, and then he can defer the final payment till you cash him out. That's real simple. It achieves everything he wants to do, but like, you can't give him all the money and not pay taxes on it. Like, that's unfortunately, unless you own the IRS, you can't do that. So. Okay. You put it in there?
Yeah, I put it in there.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Let me see what you're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to comp. There's the only ones that I could possibly use have a in-ground pool.
Okay, so what type of property is it? Why don't you tell me that?
It's a residential single family.
Okay. Is there something funky with the property or?
No, it's just the inside needs updated fully. There's old carpet, old paint. The kitchen needs, the cabinets need taken out. It's all cosmetic work.
Okay. Basically. So it's still a 3-2 single family home, right?
Well, I talked to her on the phone and she's trying to tell. I haven't been in the house. I went and walked around. I walked the property because she told me I could. And she lives like an hour away, but I'm going to try to set an appointment to go walk through. She's okay. Telling me it's a 4-3, not a 3-2 as it's listed. So that's why I would have to go walk through the property first.
Okay. I'm just trying. It's interesting. Okay. I'm trying to do two things at once. So I try not to spend too much time comping. So, I see some of your struggles on here. Okay. So let me ask you, so you found the property driving for dollars. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, so you just cut 3 months out of your cycle there, and you found the seller on Facebook, right?
Yeah. I found her brother on Facebook and then he put me in contact with her.
Brilliant, by the way. Okay. And she says, what'd she say about the property in a nutshell?
Basically, she's not lived there in about 2.5-3 years. She's moved closer to family. And okay.
So you're trying to figure out what the ARV is. So do me a favor. If you can go to the, obviously you have a property appraiser site for your county, right?
I am not positive. I haven't.
You do. So here's what I want you to do. Okay. Because we're going to be efficient here. It's only got a half hour.
Okay.
I want you to go to the property appraiser site and look up the taxable value for the property. Now, if you have PropStream or Batch, you can get it through any one of those services as well. Here's the reason, guys. I don't want to navigate in between screens because I'm probably going to kill this live stream if I do it too much because I've done it multiple times. And I promise Zach, I wouldn't go into like detail. So here's what I'm going to do. Try to find that information right now. I'm going to go take another live and then I'm going to come back to you right after it.
So just look for the tax information on it?
All you are is looking for the tax assessed value. And what that does is it gives you a rudimentary starting. I'm like, dude, here's where you're kind of like your bottom line number. You can start it. Like I use it all the time, by the way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing I want you to do is tell me how much you think the repairs need to be done in the house. I know you're guessing. Okay. I know you're going to go and let, but if you were a betting man, and then the next one is figure out what the dang thing would rent for. Okay. So are you local?
Yes.
You know the area pretty good?
I do.
You can probably nail the rent pretty quick. So right. We're going to get the rent. We're going to figure out the rent, what the rehab is, and we're going to look at the tax assessed value. And I'll come back to you in like 5 to 10 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on PropStream right now on the tax information and I know what it would rent for. And I kind of have a guesstimate on what the.
Okay. So let's do it. Perfect. Go ahead. Give me the rent first.
The rent would be around $1,400.
Okay.
It says the total assessed value for the taxes is $52,480.
Is that including the property and land?
No, that is.
So they usually separate them.
Yes. That's it. That's both property and land. Yep.
Okay. And what do you think it's going to need?
Full cosmetic rehab on 1,500 square feet. Probably 35, I would say.
Okay. Let's say 50.
Okay.
That's how it works, dude. I'm just telling you, like you ever did, like you never, yeah. Like we all want to be super cheap. Like it's okay. So I'm looking at like the basic comp models, like, you know, your Zillow stuff, like it's coming to like 220. It seems like a little bit high to me, but remember, I'm not in your area. So I'm not a good gauge for this. Do you think 220 sounds like really high for that?
No, I don't think it sounds too high. I just didn't know with the way the market is right now, because you can tell like going on there that they're dropping a little bit, you know?
Okay.
Like,
so what you need to do is get a, you could deep dive in a little bit. Like you don't have to go too deep because you don't have a contract yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your job is to get it so cheap, like you're going to make it work either way. Okay. Right. So many people get hung up. If you buy it super cheap, like spend time on that and then you can figure out what the pricing is. I just got a deal today from a title company. Guys, you can get deals from title companies. They see it all. They say deals that fall away. I go, dude, I know this guy. He pays cash. He pays quick. I don't even know what I'm going to do with it, but like I bought it like 60 cents on the dollar. Like I'm not lying to you, and I'll actually pay them a huge fee and everything like that. Right. But like, I don't even know what it's worth. I bought it so cheap. I'm not worried about it. And I want to give you that problem. So if you do all this, here's a little cheat sheet. When you don't have no idea what it's worth, print your tax assessed value from your county properties site.
Okay.
And start working from that number and up. Go listen, I have no idea, but I'm looking at the tax assessed value. It says 52.4. Is that something that would work for you? And shut up. You would be blown away how many people will take that offer on a house they don't want. Okay. Okay.
She gave me a number while I was on the phone.
What'd she give you?
She gave me 174, which I thought was a little high, but I figured she'd start with her highest number.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work. So no. Let's just say it's worth conservatively maybe 200. And I'm talking about after you do the repairs. So it's worth 200. You're taking off like 50. You need to be somewhere in like the 125 to 130 range, in my opinion. Like top number. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if the property is rough, go in there and glass and just be in the glory of the house. Like if it's nasty and it's hot, sit there with her and make it uncomfortable. You have to magnify the pain. The smell of the house, the fact she already wants to get rid of it is a great sign. Okay. You just got to get the best price. You have to go in with an initial no. If not, you're never going to know where she'd lower her number to. Okay.
Okay. So she told me that she just wanted to pay off her new mortgage since she's retired with that money. But I can see the linked properties. I see what her mortgage is and how much she owes on it. She only owes $129.
Bingo. Right there, dude.
Right.
That might be the number that puts it over the edge.
Gotcha.
So I think at 130, that's like a no-brainer.
Right.
But you know, remember, you got to leave room into it. And remember, I already told you guys your buyers are going to beat you up. So you've got like to get the fight done up front. And she might not take the first bite, but take your time and work through it. Do not sit there and spend like 10 days trying to comp the damn thing out.
Right.
120 to 130, but I wouldn't go too much more than that because then that's the top line number. So don't make that your first offer.
Okay.
But listen, I'm looking at it, man. Like this is a lot of work. The market's really dropping. I've got some other projects similar to this. I go, you know, like really, what is it you need to make this work? And see if she starts talking about her other mortgage and just say, you already know the answer to the question. I love asking sellers questions you already know the answer to. It's gold. It's like, if you ever do it with kids, it's phenomenal. So if you're like, well, how much is that mortgage balance? Either she's going to tell you the truth. If she tells you the truth, it's a great sign. You're going to get a good deal. If she tells you like 250, you'll be like, crap, here we go. Right. And you can use it as a barometer if they're going to be honest with you and tell you the truth. I do it all the time with sellers. Sounds like she's been pretty forthright with you, so I don't think you're going to have a problem here. But listen, when you go there, if the property's really rough, sit in the moment and just keep like taking things apart. Also, guys, when you go to properties and they're perfect on the inside, go outside. Get away from it because it's not going to help you negotiate. Okay?
Okay.
And just work through it and just get it so cheap. And then once you have it under contract, put in an inspection period in there. And then I'm going to deep dive with like a local realtor. Let them do the work.
Okay.
And just say, listen, if I was going to list this house, if I listed this house with you, and I'm not saying I am, what would the value be to sell it like right now? And okay. Find out what they'd say. So, is that clicking on my side or yours?
See, I've been hearing it the whole time I've been on here. I'm not too sure, honestly. I heard really. It with the previous person that was on live also.
Really?
I
okay.
Hold on, let me try to fix this. I'm going to get in trouble. I can't hear you. As soon as you went down and were messing, I don't know if you were messing with the cords, that's when it completely cut out. Can you hear me? Yeah, as soon as you touched the cord down there, if that's what you did, it completely cut out as soon as you did that. It might be. Yeah, it's
working. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. That clicking was driving me nuts. So every now and then it does that. So honestly, I think you have a great sign, guys. If the motivation's there, you find someone like that. And dude, kudos to like using social media to find people. If you couldn't find him on social media, I would have gone and knocked on the neighbor's door on either side or behind him to figure it out. But like,
yeah, that was my next step right there. Yep.
Yeah, no, it's dude, move forward. Do not delay. Get it done. And then remember, sometimes they always don't take the first offer, and you guys don't have to panic it, especially in this market. Sellers are slowly getting the message that the prices are not going up anymore, which is a shock to people. Now, a lot of them think everything is going to go flat, but eventually things are going to go backwards. If you guys saw the stock market today, it's going to put real fear in people. Stock market had a nuclear meltdown today, but like pretty bad stuff. So remember, real estate's slow. It's just a slow trickle. It's like an IV drop. It's very, very slow. So you got to do that. That's what you want to do. You did everything like picture perfect, driving for dollars, hunting them down on social media, already connected with them, already talked to them, set up the precursor. When are you meeting with her?
She said sometime this weekend. So, and she's supposed to be calling me around 7:30 today.
Okay. So have you driven by the property and look at it in a little more detail or?
Yeah, I have videos, pictures. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you're way ahead of it. So, like, anytime you can do like intel beforehand, but remember, it always comes down to the seller. So, here's the last thing: is I would research this seller like crazy. If you already found her, is she on social media or no?
No, I couldn't find her anywhere. That's why I had to.
I know. So that's a little bit of a challenge. So, so go in your county records and look on the clerk of courts and see if there's anything else going on in her life. And you can see the type of house they have. But like the idea is you just try to find some commonality in like what they have.
Okay. So last question, is that something you guys would be interested in? And if I did lock it up cheap enough?
I would, but I think you can do it yourself. I'm going to be brutally honest.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I'll take your money, but like, if you submit it. So guys, here's the deal. If you guys want to work with us, hold on. See, now I've screwed my screen up. I'm going to get in trouble here. Okay. Let me put it up here so everyone kind of knows. And you could always go to Flip with Rick and look everything up in there. Click that JV link. A couple requirements, guys. You've got to go with the most conservative ARV and discount it from there. Okay. These old prices you guys put in, they're not going to work. Okay. If anybody taught you wholesaling in the last 4 years, they probably cheated you. And I apologize for that. I've been doing this 20 years. Since 2014, this market's been nuts. In the last 4 years, it's been terrible because everyone's offering slight discounts above retail prices and they're getting their numbers. It's not going to work anymore. Still making that damn noise. The other way is, comps are always arranged. So if this house was like 210 to 230, I'm probably picking 200 and below that. Okay. The second thing is, if you want to work with us, great. You got to give us a shot and give us time. If you start marketing the property and you go, crap, I got the wrong price and you give it to me, I'm not helping you out. Like I have to pay people. And guys, you guys aren't paying me, but I'm going to give you some hard, honest truth. And sometimes wholesalers actually get it wrong. I get stuff wrong all the time. Like sometimes it's just not perfect. Do not like rain down on the people I work with. They're just telling you the truth up front as fast as they can. And then the other thing is you got to submit pictures and you got to submit your contract and you got to sign a JV agreement. I don't want to be selling a deal that you're out there selling on the street, because then I got to compete with you and it's not fair. Okay. Yeah. So if you want to do it, let's do it up front. We'll do an agreement. I'll let you know like really quick if we think it's a deal that's going to work out. But dude, you can do it on your own. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want you to sign an agreement with me and then you go off as like a wild child, because I'm going to make sure you can't submit a deal with me going forward, because it's request. I know we're learning as we go with this, but like I got people submitting deals that like you have a 30-day contract and you're in day like 28. I can't help you.
Right.
Sorry. We're going to renegotiate it and figure it out from there. And be honest, if you need help like writing the contract and you got pictures and you got like really good information, then submit it and somebody with me will talk to you and we'll see if it's going to make it work. So I think it'll be a very good deal. You've got the right client. I promise you. You just got to make it work. Okay. So go out, lock it up, do everything. If you want to submit the JV, just do it sooner than later type of deal. But I think you'll be fine either way. So.
All right. Sounds great.
Awesome, man. Okay. Let us know how it works out, man. See ya. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. Hey, Candace, I got you on here twice. So hop off on one of them, because that kind of screws me up. Chadrick, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm digging yourself.
Good. Where are you located?
South Africa.
That is awesome. Have you talked to my son?
I did.
Yeah. So yeah, he told me a little bit about you. So guys, by the way, this guy's in South Africa. Are you doing wholesaling? Are you trying it?
I'm doing wholesaling, yes.
Okay.
So I got one deal.
for those of you who are complaining, like you think it's tough because you're in California, you're trying to do Ohio or something like this. This fine gentleman is halfway across the world trying to find his money in the United States. And I think it's like phenomenal. So if you ever think you have a challenge, like I got people from Sweden, I got people from Venezuela. I think it's just incredible. I think so many times in the United States, we don't understand how the rest of the world operates. Like I just left the country last month. I wasn't in shock, but like it is a real wake-up call. Like you just don't know what you have until you leave it. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with you. I think it's just phenomenal. I could probably spend an hour with you, but what's going on? What can I help you out with?
So I got a partner in Richmond to go get the court violation list. So when he went to the courthouse, he got a paper with an email address saying that I must contact this email and also a phone number I must call. So when I called the number, they said they don't know what a court violation is. So okay. It's a bit tough again, yeah.
So if you refer back to, I believe, the first gentleman I spoke to, obviously you guys are virtual. Mm-hmm. Did you say you have a partner in Richmond?
Yes.
Okay. So are you guys marketing Richmond?
Yes.
Okay. So you have to have him go in person to get this list. It's brutal on an email. It's really tough on the phone. When you go in person, he just needs to find. So the code enforcement is not going to be associated with the courts. It's going to be at the city or the county level, and it's usually going to be tied to the building department or like a city hall. They call it a city hall annex, A-N-N-E-X, okay? That's where you need to look. The people at the courthouse, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Unless it's a court case, they're not going to be able to help you out. So have him find where the code violations, who handles it. And it has nothing to do with the court system. These are done at the city or the county level. Most likely the city. That's the highest probability. And usually it's tied to like a building department. So wherever they do, so a lot of times these cities, if they have a police department, they're all tied together. So they have the code violations, they have like the little yellow lights. It's not the red and like blue lights where you get arrested on. You're just in the wrong place. That's all. If he can go in person, it'll make a tremendous difference in getting that list.
Okay. And also,
what else is going on?
San Antonio also published the correlation on their web. But now, since I did my first deal in Richmond, I don't have moved to another state without mastering the Richmond market. So I'm having trouble there. Should I stick with Richmond or go straight to San Antonio since they have all the list on the website?
How long have you been doing Richmond for?
I think 4 months now.
Okay. And have you guys got any deals?
Yes, we closed one deal last month.
Okay. Guys, I want you to hear this. This gentleman is in South Africa. What time are you in?
It's 2:09 PM.
Okay. I mean, I'm just in awe. Like, I really, like, I commend what you're doing. Like, I think it's incredible. Like, it's, let me ask you, how did you find wholesaling? Just out of curiosity.
I think it was one day I subscribed to a real estate it was an ad on YouTube, and some guys showed how to make $10,000 a month using real estate. So it was, I think, Adro Asanya. Okay. From there, I've been learning about wholesaling. Then I went on Facebook. Someone posted about having, because I spent money on someone who scammed me. I think $1,000.
Yeah, shocker.
That was last year. So okay. I went on searching how can I get better with real estate. So I found your free wholesaling on Facebook. Yeah. Then I joined there. From there, I've been using your guys' free teaching. Yeah. And I got
you find it helpful?
Very helpful.
And did we scam you?
No.
Did we scam you at all?
Not at all.
No. Like, so, like, guys, this is what it's all about. Like, people should be sharing information. Like, I'm tired of people trying to, most of the people that are charging you, like, not all of them, but like a lot of them are just like scam. They're just there to take your money. They don't give a crap like how good you do. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. Stick to Richmond for now. Get it going, get a few more deals, and then expand, because once you get one deal, you can kind of like figure out the market and move forward. We are in a rapidly changing market. And for that reason, I tell you to stick to one market right now till you master it. And then once you get some more monies in, then you guys can make the decision, because the reality is every market, I tell you, when you do virtual markets, they take about 90 days to dial in. So you're already in month 4. So you've been through a lot of the pain. You've already spent some money on it. You might as well reap the rewards now while you can. So for that reason, I would stick to what you're doing now. I think it's amazing what you're doing, and I need you to keep coming back on here. Guys, if you're complaining about doing virtual investing, this guy's on the other side of the world. It's unbelievable. Like, I think it's just absolutely amazing what you're doing. So what time is it there right now?
Like 24 past midnight.
Okay. That's crazy, man. So
yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you're not wholesaling, what do you do? What do you do for fun over there?
Nothing much. I just go play soccer.
Okay.
Just really well,
Chadrick, keep doing on it, and please keep coming back. I love what you're doing. I think that's really, really cool. So
we'll do that.
Richmond, stick to it. Keep going on it. I know you're going to do very well. So make sure he goes in person to get that list, okay?
All right.
Okay, bud.
One last thing. I have a $1,000 budget just in case I don't get the code violation. So I was trying to get to a reverse wall setting. Will that work with my budget?
Okay.
Will it work?
Say that again. Red.
I have a $1,000 budget for in case if I don't get the code violation leads from the government.
Okay. So you asking me what to do with that $1,000?
Yeah. If I want to do the reverse, driving for dollars.
Well, you know, you can. Zach just did a video. I believe it was the batch 3.0. They have a virtual driving for dollars, and I've had two people now that told me they've gotten deals off of it, which would be really valuable to someone like you. I would take a look at it because it really doesn't cost you that much. I don't want you to spend $1,000. How's that? So you can look at other lists. You can also look at all the other government lists available. Okay. Understanding all these lists should be available to you. You're just the code violation is one of the more difficult ones because it gets a lot more traffic. But if you look at pre-foreclosures, you look at the eviction list, you look at, I wouldn't worry about probates right now because that's a little bit more work. There's so many lists. There's tax delinquencies you can get. I would get as many as the free list as you can because it this business isn't always about money. Gurus have taught you, you have to spend money to make it work. I would exhaust that list. And then if you don't get it, then we can talk from that. Look at the batch 3.0. My son just did an entire video on it. It's, let me tell you what, it's impressive. I'm still working in it and it works well.
Okay.
I'll take a look at that. Yeah. Okay, man. I'll talk to you, bud. I appreciate it, Chadrick. Guys, like, listen to that, man. I mean, that is insane. Guys on the other side of the country doing this, like, let's get it going, man. I mean, drives me nuts. Okay. Okay, let me jump on. I'm running out of time. So listen, before I'm going to take one more here. Our upcoming schedule, apparently there's a hurricane heading towards Florida, like whatever. I don't panic. I've been here my entire life. If it's coming, it's going to come like Tuesday or Wednesday. So we'll update you on our schedule. I'll do a live as long as I got power and an internet. So I don't care. So I like to fish during hurricanes. I know my Dolphins are probably going to get killed this weekend, so you guys can put all the comments you want on there. I'll still watch it. Full disclosure, I shut off the Ravens game because I'm a fair weather fan, and that's how I operate sometimes. So just, the Dolphins have been killing me for a long, long time. So let me jump in this. Candace, you there? Candace.
Hi, I'm here.
How you doing?
Oh my goodness, I'm finally free. I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Great, 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 man. How can I help you out?
So I'm wholesaling virtually. I'm originally from the UK, but I'm living in Jamaica at the moment.
Well, this is like an international event today. Yeah. It looks like a hurricane is going to scoot right around you, and then you're going to knock it into Florida, aren't you?
We're getting pure rain right now. That's all we're getting.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, what can I help you out with?
Okay, so I am going through the FSBO route.
Okay.
And at the moment, I got a deal under contract with a seller in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I JV'd with a partner. I found somebody on Facebook to do the cash buyer side, find the cash buyer. And I'm just wondering, he put something in my head where he was just saying that because it's still listed, that because I couldn't get the seller to take down the listing, sorry. And he's saying that if other cash buyers see it, then they're going to have a problem with that. So I'm thinking, is that going to be an ongoing issue if I'm looking? Okay.
So where does the seller have it listed with? Like Zillow or what?
it's on for sale by owner. It's not on Zillow. It's on for sale by owner.com.
Okay. Have you asked them nicely if they could take it down?
Yeah, I said, what did I say? I was like, oh, I said, I want to show commitment because I've been double crossed before where somebody sold to another buyer before. He's like, well, I've also been double crossed before. And so okay. I'm not taking it down until we're at the closing kind of thing.
Okay. Well, listen, you can't make him take it down. Yeah. I get it, but is it only on FSBO.com or is it on Zillow by any chance?
No, it's not on Zillow. It's just on FSBO.
So Zillow's going to have the highest traffic. So that's where you're going to have the most risk. So you're going to have to take a calculator. You can't make the guy do it. So like, I agree with you. I don't want to take him down, but so the only thing I do is work on your counter argument if you get busted with it. Okay.
Right.
And go, listen, it was listed at one point. It didn't work out. The way these agreements work with it is the guy has to leave it up there for like 3 months. He thought about doing it. He's not doing it anymore. Now, your risk is they contact the seller directly and you just need to prep the seller. Go, listen, if you leave it up and people keep calling you to like and want to negotiate with you, negotiate, you're already under contract. So that's fine if you want to leave it up, but you have to honor when people call and tell them the property's already locked up.
Right.
Because if he starts negotiating, man, it's going to create massive problems for you.
Yeah, okay? That's what my JV partner was kind of saying.
So the only thing I would, you can't make him take it down. You don't have the legal right to, but say, listen, here's the deal. If anybody calls you, you have to tell them the property's already sold. You cannot negotiate with two people. And if you do, you're going to be in violation of our agreement.
Yeah.
And just, you got to get a commitment to him. And then if you want, test him out.
Cool.
See what he's going to do. Because
so if I do see, because I have started to use Zillow as well. And if there are for sale by owners on Zillow and like I run into that problem again, like how would I?
There's not much you can do with it. Like it is what it is. And even when they take it down, sometimes it takes weeks to come off the site.
Okay.
So it's a pain in the butt. You try to ask them. It is what it is. That's the problem with FSBOs, unless you can ask them nicely. The problem is if your new buyer decides to contact them directly and see what's going on and they fish and then they act like, well, let me just set up a backup. Just tell them
you're going to
be in violation if you do that. And then the guy goes, well, I'll just wait her out. And when her contract expires, I'll go with him. You got to let your seller know that's contract, you just can't do it. They do it, but trust me, they'll do it. You also have to let your buyer know. Sometimes you know what the best way to overcome like your biggest fear is just deal with it up front sometimes too. If it was Zillow, you would have to confront your new buyers and let them know. But listen, just to let you know, it's on Zillow, it's not for sale. We've already struck an agreement with the owner and he's already said it. He has some issues and he can't actually remove it down. So if you call him directly, just to understand there is a legal binding contract and you are not going to be able to circumvent me. I just rather tell you this up front. He's got issues. He can't take it down. It is what it is. If it's a problem, please do not submit an offer with me. Okay. Sometimes you're best just to deal with the confrontation up front. Because it's not on Zillow and it's FSBO.com, you might want to be quiet about it and just be prepared if it comes up and figure out how to deal with it. The other one is you might want to test your buyer out. Have a friend or an acquaintance call and see how they respond when they ask about that property.
Right.
Does it make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot
of
sense.
Yeah, it's like if it's Zillow, you got to deal with it up front because they'll know it. But like a lot of people don't go to FSBO.com unless he puts like an intercept search and it pops up. So if it's less than a 50% chance, I would just prepare your counter argument if it comes up.
With the cash buyer.
They can't, you gotta put the fear in the seller. Like you cannot negotiate with two parties. Like you ethically and legally can't do it. I get it, but keep in mind, he's thinking about a backup offer if you fall through and he wants to keep his options open. Like I get it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That makes sense?
I've got one more. In Florida. Okay. It's like, what's it called? Fort Walton Beach.
Okay.
And this, I've been speaking to her since December.
She's kind of
been so flaky. And now it's got in pre-foreclosure. And it's like 82 days passed, and I'm trying to now. She's got the key. She's out of state in Texas.
Okay.
She's trying to get a key made and send it to her sister who lives in the town. But just the clock is ticking, and I'm okay. messaging her. Sometimes she's very sometime-ish with when she answers me back. You know.
Yeah. So guys, this is common with motivated sellers. This flakiness. If you ever hear someone's voicemail full, understand you're dealing with a full-on flake. You're just gonna have to navigate through it. If they can't delete their voicemails, like the odds of them having send you a key is pretty much slim to none. So is there any money left in the deal is the real question. Because you know, every day going by, the banks are eating it alive.
Yeah, well, it's on Zillow, it's showing like 279, like 280, something like that. And I've got it for 165. And it doesn't need a lot of work. Okay. It doesn't need a lot of work.
Okay, so listen to me clearly on this one. Skip the key thing. Ask her for a written permission in an email or a text for you to cut a key. Tell her you'll pay for it and you'll take care of it. You're never going to get the key from her. Like I've learned the hard way. Okay. Just take control of it. You need to get permission from the owner to get a duplicate key. And then you can pay a locksmith anywhere from $50 to $75 to go out there and cut you a key.
Oh, wow.
I'm just telling you, you're never going to get the key. You're never going to get it. It's going to be 3 months.
No, listen, she said from April, I think she's supposed to be making this key. And it's now September. Now,
skip it. So do you have somebody you're working with in Florida?
Not well, I've contacted people, but I've been waiting on this key. So
let me ask you, did she sign a contract with you yet?
No, this is the thing today. Over the past couple of days, I've been getting it.
You might want to just try to get a signed contract from her.
That's the first
before
thing.
You spend one dime on this thing. Yeah. And then if she signs a contract, I would find someone locally that can help you meet a locksmith and just put a key on a lockbox there, and then you're going to be golden. Yeah. Once you have that key, you're in complete control of that property.
I spoke to a realtor, actually. The realtor, once she was saying to I could send it to her, or just she wanted to find out from a brokerage if it was like ethical or legal or whatever, but she said it's okay. And that this was when she didn't know who to send it to, but the realtor she's willing to work with me on it. She has buyers maybe.
Okay. So you have to get under contract. You got to be careful. You cannot reach out to realtors, brokers, and other wholesalers if you do not have it under contract. They will cut right through you. Ooh. So don't talk to anyone else. Go try to get that contract, that price, and then just tell her, I'm going to take care of the key for you.
Cool.
Just tell her, listen, my friend's a locksmith. I just need a quick text or an email to cover your butt.
Right.
Okay.
So without just an email from her to say to confirm that this person can cut the key for me.
Yeah, I'm giving permission for Candace Willoughby to create a key for the property and just the address. That's it. You just need something to give to the locksmith. Like, I'm here to tell you this, okay? I didn't always follow this, so I learned a few tricks in the trade. A lot of properties I get like this. Listen, us guys, we go in there with a screwdriver, open up. The problem is the neighbor's going to call the cops, think you're breaking in there. And I don't want anyone to be arrested or have like the threat of life. It's not worth it. I have never, ever had where I hired a locksmith and someone called the police on me. That's normal. So the only thing you need the permission for is to give it to the locksmith to make sure you're doing something legitimate. They're never going to nobody questions a locksmith when they open a lock. If you get in there with a screwdriver or someone like me, you're probably going to get surrounded by the popo, and it's going to be a problem. So locksmiths are the key. I have convinced locksmiths to open doors I didn't have a permission slip for. I don't advise that. It does create problems. So get something in writing, whatever it is. Worst case scenario, because they're flaky, do me a favor. Do you mind if I record you telling me it's okay to create a duplicate key for this property address? Get something so you have something to hang your hat on if you get questioned by any type of authority or the neighbors, okay?
Right. I get you. Thank you so much.
You got it. Awesome. Well, stay safe during the hurricane. So, guys, full disclosure,
you too.
We will update our content as long as I got power and internet. Hopefully this thing blows way out to sea, but I don't want anybody to be hit by a hurricane. And I wish you the best. So, Candace, let me know. And if you want to partner up on that, just go to Flip with Rick, hit that JV button. I'm happy to help you out. We are in the state of Florida, and I got a lot of help here. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you so very much.
Let me know how it works out. Go get it. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. So guys, do me a favor. Give me some thumbs up. Give me some likes. Say, you know, I love what you're doing. I'm sorry for the shortened version tonight. I got something I got to take care of, but I think we got in a lot of people. Do me a favor. Go to my YouTube channel, Rick Ginn. Make sure you subscribe there. Go to my son's there. We have unique content that only goes on those channels. I want to share it with you guys and teach you everything I can about wholesaling. I go into a little bit more and stuff like that. So guys, well, this is a fun one. Go back. Guys, you know how to handle objections. They're broken down to five categories. Once you classify them, they're easy to overcome. You just have to practice it. So guys, I appreciate it. We'll definitely see you Sunday and Monday, and then stay tuned on Tuesday and Wednesday. As long as I have a signal, I will always connect with you guys. Go out there and get the deals, guys. Have fun, and we will see you soon. I appreciate it, guys. See you. Later.